I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. The hymn, The Angel Gabriel, by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. We're going to be talking about that visit of this esteemed angel to the lowly Virgin Mary in a place so unlikely for an angel to appear, to a woman so unlikely to receive this word that comes to her from the angel, well, really from the Lord, through the angel, that she will conceive and she will bear a son and he will be called Great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, in fact. Not just called the Son of God, he will, in fact, be the Son of God. We use a term, the Incarnation, to describe what happened here, although we can't explain it and don't attempt to explain it in what biological or scientific terms. It's simply there for us to believe and to confess. What the angel says to Mary is done, and she says, may it be done to me according to your word. And it is. We're going to talk about the visit of the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary, teaching our Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, as we do every week on this Monday afternoon, December the 1st. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This isn't the first time that we've seen or heard what this angel has to say in Luke's Gospel. Where have we seen Gabriel before?
In the Bible, there are only, this is a question I like asking seminars, how many angels are named? And most people will say two, Gabriel and Michael. There's actually three, because Lucifer was also an angel, and he's named. But Gabriel is mentioned even in the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 8 and 9. But the two times that he's mentioned in Luke is when he appears earlier in chapter 1, where he names himself, I am Gabriel. And this is when he is, of course, foretelling the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah, the priest of the division of Abisha. So he talks to Zechariah, says that he and his wife Elizabeth, who is past childbearing age, will have a son, John the Baptizer. And then he's now talking to Mary, which is 6 months after he talked to Zechariah.
So he's come to deliver a word, and here's a case where he comes as kind of the messenger. That's what angel means. He comes as a messenger of this word, but this is like no other word that any angel has ever delivered to anybody before, isn't it?
That is absolutely correct, even though it's foretold in the Old Testament books that this will happen to a woman. This is the first time. I kind of like thinking of this verse, when the fullness of time had come. In other words, when everything was set for the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies to come to fruition in Jesus Christ, that's when Gabriel first was sent to Zechariah as a forerunner, and then to Mary to tell her about her virgin birth.
What does he actually say to her? What are the What's the conversation like?
It begins in verse 28, greetings, O favored one. Now, we're more used to hail, which also is a proper translation. It's just a different. It's simply a greeting. It really means to rejoice, highly favored one. And this is really important because some people would say that when Mary is said to be favored, that means that she's one of God's favorite children. There's something she's done. And of course, in one denomination, of course, they even teach that she was sinless from her conception on. But to be favored does not mean that in the Bible, that God comes to her because she's one of the favorite ones. Instead, you can take a look at the flood of Noah. When this occurred, wickedness of man was great in the earth, and we also know that God looked to Noah, who was a sinner. And in Genesis 6, the New King James said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the other translations, the ESV, the NIV, and the NAS, here's how they translate it, Todd. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So therefore, when it talks about Mary being favored, it's not because of anything within her. Later on, she even acclaims that Jesus is her Savior also. So that shows she's not sinless. But for some reason, of all the billions of women in the world, God chose this one and favored her with the birth of his son.
Now, the heading of the section, as it's found in the translation I'm looking at, Jesus' birth foretold. And then you might read through this thinking, well, the angel's just kind of here to announce to Mary something that's going to happen in the future, and then there's going to be kind of some sort of mystical experience, and she'll conceive of Jesus in her womb at a different time. But Luke tells the story as though they speak of this as something that's about to happen, and the very next thing we know, she is pregnant. Should we not only call this the Annunciation or the foretelling of Jesus' birth, but the actual conception?
Yes, there's two verses I would point to. Verse 31, he says, the angel, and behold, you will conceive. And that is a future. But then after verse 34, Mary says to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the holy angel answers her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that's also a future also. But then we know she immediately went to visit Elizabeth, and it didn't take long to get there. And when she enters into the home of Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So the conception had to occur almost immediately with the absence as the angel left, or very soon thereafter.
The Luther kind of talks about her conceiving through the ear, and it's not just a play on words. He's making a point about the word, how it is the word, the power of the word by which she conceives as a virgin. What are your thoughts there, Tom?
I wouldn't have a difficulty in the sense that the reason she conceived is she had trust in that word, faith in that word, in contrast to Zechariah. We'll look at that in a moment. But at any rate, I don't see a problem that the word comes to Mary and she believes. It's kind of like anybody who believes that Jesus is their Savior, when they hear the message of the gospel, it is immediate that they are already saved. They don't have to invite Christ into their heart. I said on Sunday in my sermon, if you ever want to invite Christ into your heart, don't do it, because he's already there. Your very desire. So I wouldn't disagree with Luther that through the hearing of the word and faith, that conception took place.
The angel says, you will conceive in your womb and you have a son. You'll call his name Jesus. What's there for us to note there, Tom?
Yes, because some people will take a look at the Old Testament prophecy where it says that his name will be Emmanuel. And somebody says, well, that's not the same. Well, the problem is, it is the same, because what Emmanuel means is God with us. And it's very clear that when the Holy Spirit overshadows her, according to verse 35, therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And that's by the power of the Most High, who will overshadow her. So therefore, there's not a distinction. Jesus means to, he saves us. And so how does he save us? By becoming one of us. And he does that as a human being, because according to Revelation 5, even a strong angel cannot open the seals of the scroll that reveal our salvation, because he's an angel. He's not a human being. It takes a human being to save human beings. So God, in his infinite wisdom from before the foundation of the world, decided that the second person of the Trinity would become human. We call that his incarnation.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the angel's word to Mary, where he says God will give to him the throne of his father David. There are a couple things there. David is called his father, and apparently Jesus is going to be given that throne by God himself. We'll find out what all of that means as we talk about the angel Gabriel visiting the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1 with Pastor Tom Baker.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. issuesetc.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, talking about the angel Gabriel visiting the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1. One of the things that requires some exploration in the Old Testament roots here. One of the things that the angel tells Mary is that the Lord God will give to him, that is Mary's son, the throne of his father David. And then it says, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What is the angel saying to Mary there, Tom?
This is the fulfillment of a promise that we find throughout the Old Testament, that the house of Jacob, at times regarded as quite sinful, will be redeemed by the Lord. One of the passages I like looking at is Isaiah 29:22. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. And so we have a tie-in between the promises to Abraham that a nation will be blessed, and this is referred to as the house of David. Then you have Ezekiel 20, verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel, I swore to the offspring of the house of Jacob, making myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I swore to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. And one other verse, there are many of them, but this is a good one. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17. In Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. So the house of Jacob, in fact, this is even mentioned that Jesus comes from the tribe of Jacob in Revelation 5, when he appears as a slain lamb, and I believe Revelation 5 is really about the ascension of Jesus Christ back into heaven. So the house of Jacob is very important because it's a fulfillment of promises given to Eve with Genesis 3:15, Abraham, David, Solomon, Isaiah, and just many of the prophets in the Old Testament books.
So the angel is telling Mary, who, by the way, both Mary and Joseph, the gospel writers will assure us, are of the house of David. They're of the lineage of David in different ways. The angel is assuring Mary that this son of hers is going to be the fulfillment of all those Davidic promises, all those promises made to David, and therefore going and then back to Jacob and to the other patriarchs?
That is absolutely correct, that the line from Eve all the way through Jesus will be unbroken, even though it includes some Gentile women. Which is very interesting, but God kept his line going. Remember Boaz married Ruth, kept his line going. In fact, the whole book of Ruth is about how God does not break the line, so his promises are fulfilled. Because, as the angel says, nothing is impossible for God.
He says, of his kingdom there will be no end, which is kind of something we kind of gloss over because it seems like it doesn't. It's not as specific as the throne of David or the house of Jacob, but what's being said there about the kind of kingdom that Jesus, this particular king, will have?
Jesus himself mentions this when he talks about early in his ministry, the kingdom of God is at hand. And what he's really referring to is now this new kingdom, which we call the Holy Christian Church. Birthday is on the day of Pentecost, when believers now receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They become children of God through baptism, and this kingdom is a kingdom predicated on the gospel, which is the promises connected to the death, resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, namely such promises as the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the new kingdom, and we know it was ushered in at the time of the cross because the curtain temple was torn. God left that Holy of Holies and now enters into his people.
So is the throne of his father David, in some sense, Jesus' cross?
I think that's a good way of putting it. Remember, Jerusalem was built on a mountain. Jesus dies on a mountain. And it's not unusual to say at all that, therefore, mountain theology is very important from God's point of view, beginning with even the Garden of Eden that Ezekiel gives the impression was on a mountain, as well as Moses on Mount Sinai, and all the way until the Mount of Ascension. We also will be on that Mount of the New Jerusalem.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there's a kind of a necessary contrast to make here. Zechariah, earlier in Luke's gospel, has been visited by the same angel Gabriel, given a similar promise, that is, that his wife would conceive in her old age and bear a son who would be John, the forerunner of Christ. And Zechariah's response is, how do I know this is going to happen, in essence? Mary's response sounds very similar to the same angel, with that different announcement. How will this be since I am a virgin? What's the difference between the two?
Yes, when you first read it in the English, it sounds like both are doubting it. But I'll tell you, the Growing in Christ material did a wonderful job here and helped me, as they pointed out that, first of all, in Luke 1:20, when Zechariah says, "How shall I know this?" the angel tells him that he will be mute because you did not believe my words. In contrast to this, Mary doesn't have unbelief. She's just asking the question how the event will take place since she is a virgin. So Zechariah questions the word of Gabriel, "How shall I know this?" while Mary hears the word and believes it, only asking how the actual events will take place. It would be like me saying, "Okay, Lord, you say that I am forgiven. How shall this be?" And he says, "Through word and sacrament." That is not a question of unbelief, but just a question so that we might share with others how they too might come to salvation. But in this case, this is really critical, because Mary says very clearly in Luke 1:38, "Lord, let it come unto me according to your word."
So the angel says the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Does it help us at all to speculate as to how this happens? I mean, people say, well, if Jesus' father is God the Father and his mother is this human being, Mary, how does that work out biologically? What is his DNA going to look like under the proper analysis? Is any of that helpful, Tom?
I always enjoy people who question the veracity of the Bible, and they'll ask me a question: how could that be that a virgin can conceive? Well, then I always say something like this: well, if you answer my question, I'll answer yours. And the question I give in this connection is from Exodus 40, verse 35. After they had constructed the tent of meeting, a cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Guess what? That's the same language that Gabriel uses to Mary, that the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So I ask this question. Okay, how did the glory of the Lord fill the tabernacle so that the Holy of Holies was not only with the presence of the Lord, but if anybody went in there without permission, they were struck with glory fire? And they say, "Well, I'm not really sure." And then I say, "Well, I'm not really sure either how the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, but it's obvious that he did because she had a baby."
So there is a connection here, though, that you've just mentioned here, Tom. That is that Mary's womb is as much the tabernacle as was that Old Testament tabernacle, if not more.
That's an excellent point. That in the womb of Mary was God himself. We do not divide the natures as though Jesus had a human nature that was off somewhere, like five-point Calvinists often believe in regard to the Lord's Supper, and then he had this divine nature that was everywhere. No, the human divine is together in one person.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We've got another 10 minutes with him on the other side of the break. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, December the 1st. We base our conversations with Tom, and he's mentioned it here just a few minutes ago, on an excellent Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. The name says it all. It really is about exploring all of the Old and New Testament, the stories, the various sections that we learn in Sunday school, the more familiar, the less familiar. And on every page, in every way, we find Christ at the center of what the Bible has to say, that these things are not here to, how could you draw a moral lesson from this? This is obviously pointing us to Christ, and that is true of all of Scripture. And that's something that the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, not only gets, but also communicates very well at whatever age the kids are at. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, and they will happily send you a free sample of this curriculum, Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the angel visiting the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1, the conception of Jesus Christ. Pastor Baker, one other thing, and you've talked about it before, behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. This is Mary's response to the angel explaining that God's kind of already doing these miraculous things. Elizabeth, your kinswoman, who was called barren, is already 6 months pregnant, and he caps that off by saying in verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. What is he saying, and how should we rightly understand Mary's response?
I believe this is a really good point for the children. It can almost be the theme here, that nothing will be impossible to God, with God. It's actually something that God also intimated to Abraham when he said his 90-year-old wife was going to bring forth a son, Isaac. And remember, even when Abraham went to kill Isaac, he thought that God would raise him from the dead, according to the book of Hebrews. So what faith he had. I would point out to the children, therefore, that Mary is a beautiful example of not only humility, but trust in the Word of God. Once the Word of God says it, that settles it. And therefore, to the children, I would say, nothing is impossible with God, not the forgiveness of your sins, not the resurrection from the dead, not the Son of God conceived in a virgin, and also it's not impossible that God regards you as a sinless saint in His eyes, not because you become sinless by your own works, but because your sins of commission have been forgiven in the blood of Christ, and your sins of omission have been taken care of by being dressed in the robe of righteousness. So that on that judgment day, and that's what we're talking about during Advent, one of His comings, you will stand before God just like that prodigal son did, with the best robe on.
You say that there's a connection here that we should make between, here in the New Testament, Gospel of Luke, the Virgin Mary standing in the presence of this angel, and way back at the beginning of the New Testament, our first mother, Eve. What is that connection, Tom?
Yeah, I've been taught, and by some professors, and I really agree with them, that what Jesus did is almost reverse the fall of man into sin. It's a recreation. And I often have used the three reasons that Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. It was good for food, a delight to the eyes, and a desire to make her wise. And I compare that to the three temptations of Jesus, which were similar, but He was fulfilling them. Now what I want to talk about is the distinction between Eve and Mary. Both of them had an angel appear to her. To Eve, it was Lucifer. To Mary, it was Gabriel. To Eve, the angel has his message about God. To Mary, the Gabriel had God's message to Mary. Eve's message she heard from Lucifer is that God is a liar. You can become like God. Gabriel's message to Mary was God has the truth. Eve was told, you can become like God. Mary was told, you will become the mother of God. Eve believes the lie and she sins. Mary believes the promise and consents. Because of Eve, every womb becomes a tomb. Because of Mary, the womb of Mary becomes the home of God. Eve's name is interesting. It's the mother of all the living. But Mary's womb holds the Savior of all the living. Finally, Eve gives birth to the first murderer. Mary gives birth to the new Adam. And that's how God reverses the consequences of our fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, so that on Judgment Day, we will once more be like Adam and Eve prior to their fall into sin.
You've mentioned many times in our conversation, when you talk about Eve giving birth to her first son, that she, the wording there makes it sound like she's expecting this man that she's given birth to be the Lord, to be the promise of the one who would crush the serpent's head. And she's mistaken in that. And yet, God does keep that promise. But it takes so very long. How would you say to someone who says, look, God takes a long time to keep His promises, even the most important one He ever made, the one wherein He would deliver a Savior into the world, just thousands of years? What's your response there, Tom?
This is an important point for the Sunday school, and the way I would do that is to show that when Abraham and Sarah were given a promise that she would become pregnant, her womb was already dead. And she laughed. 25 years later, the promise came to fruition. God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years was like a day. Time is insignificant to God because, first of all, he can be omnipresent in all of time. But from our point of view, we do have this promise that regardless of the time in our lives where we look forward to prayers being answered, his promise is all things will work together for our good. And therefore, even though we might not see the evidence of how that is working out, we trust it because God can fulfill whatever he promises. Nothing is impossible for God.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time in our series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller responding to evangelical proof texts. The text we're going to take up is one that seems, at least at first glance, to kind of support the evangelical conclusion. When Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, he speaks the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, that seems kind of summarize everything he has to say there. Why do I want you to do this? I want you to do it to remember me. Now, many Christians look at that, and evangelicalism in general will regard the Lord's Supper as nothing more than a memorial meal. That is, it's just a meal wherein we remember Jesus, and that's all there is to it. The other things, like his body and his blood, those are all figurative language. The real deal is the remembrance of Jesus and what he's done for us. Now, Jesus certainly says, "Do this in remembrance of me." But is that all there is in the Lord's Supper? Is that all he means in the Lord's Supper? Is this is some way by which we remember? We gathered recently around the Thanksgiving table, and, well, we remember what we were thankful for. Maybe we didn't. Maybe some of us remembered the rich history of American freedom, all those kinds of things. That's a remembrance meal. Is the Lord's Supper nothing more than that? We'll respond to evangelical proof text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Do this remembrance of me," with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you then. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.